Has anybody got a match? Thanks. Now I can light an old gold and listen to Meet Me at Parkey's.
From Hollywood, California, the makers of old gold cigarettes, the treasure of them all, invite you to Meet Me at Parkey's. So come along to Parkey's restaurant and say hello to Betty Rhodes, Sheldon Leonard, Wally Mayer, Opie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra, and our genial host, the star of our show, Parkey Carcass.
Boy, do I'm got a toothache. Couldn't sleep all last night. I could hardly wait until this morning so I could call my dentist. Very busy now, but he said he's going for to squeeze me in. Told me he could see me the 15th of August, 3 o'clock. Today, if you want to see a dentist in March, you got to get a toothache in September. You know something? That is what I should have been, a dentist or a doctor. Boy, is that a wonderful business today. In the old country, my whole family was doctors, you know. My uncle, he was a horse doctor. Then he became a doctor for human beings. But they made him for to give it up. Every time they brought in a fellow with a broken leg, he shot him. Body, he was really a good doctor. He treated one man who was in bed for 20 years. Finally found out he wasn't sick at all. He was just plain lazy. You know, it's easier for to be a doctor today with all those wonderful new drugs what they have got. Especially that stuff where they call it penicillin pencil, you know? A friend of mine has given me a whole bottle of that stuff for a Christmas present. Could hardly wait now until I get sick so I could use it. Oh, here comes Betty Rhodes. Good morning, Betty.
Hello, Parkey. What are you doing in so early?
Oh, I've got lots of things for to do. Get the place straightened up, fill up that new cigarette vending machine, you know?
Oh, you're proud of that machine, aren't you, Parkey?
Sure am. Don't it look nice?
Yes, I meant to ask you, Parkey, how does it happen that all you have in that machine is old gold?
Betty, you mean there are other brands of cigarettes?
See, Parkey, aren't you all excited about Mr. Stanley coming over to the restaurant?
Mr. Stanley? Who's Mr. Stanley?
Why, he's the famous Fred Stanley, who publishes the restaurant guide.
Oh, you mean that fellow that gets out that book what tells the people where is the best places to eat all over the country?
Uh-huh. He'll be in at 2 o'clock today to have lunch here, and if he likes it, you'll get a good rating in his book. Oh. So, Parker, we have to give him the finest meal he's ever had. We must show him that we're a high-grade restaurant.
You're right, Betty. You know what we'll do? Let's write up today's menu, all in French. That's going to look high class, you know. You know, the best restaurants, the whole menu is always written up in French.
Yeah, but, Parky, I wouldn't know how to write a menu all in French.
Oh, it's easy. I know French. Mark this down. Special today. Oui, oui, monsieur. 85 cents.
Oui, oui, monsieur. What kind of sense does that make on a menu?
Who cares if it makes sense? It's French, isn't it?
Parky, you better forget about the French. Haven't you some special recipe that you could make for Mr. Stanley? You know, something out of the ordinary. Something that would impress him.
Well, Betty, I do got a secret recipe what it's been in my family for generations.
Well, gee, Parky, that sounds very intriguing.
Yes.
What is the secret recipe?
Betty, I want you for to swear that you'll never give out this secret.
Okay, Parky, I swear.
All right. Could anybody hear us?
No.
This is the secret.
All right.
You take a slice of ham.
Yes.
You take two eggs and you fry the ham together with the eggs. You see, that's the secret recipe.
Secret recipe? Why, Parky, that's ordinary ham and eggs.
How do you like that? The secret must have got out. Wait a minute, Betty. Years ago in Greece, my mother is used for to make a dish which it was positively delirious. It was very unusual.
Well, gee, I hope we have the ingredients for it.
And don't be worried about having the ingredients. What worries me is could we get the stuff to make it with, you see?
What stuff do you need?
Well, you take any kind of meat. Then you mix in some garlic with it. Now you cut up a potato and you put in some more garlic. Now you slice two tomatoes, put in some more garlic. Now you cook it for 1 hour. Then you add some more garlic, you see? Now you put in a slice of onion. You think I put in too much onion there? Now you put in a pinch of salt, a dash of pepper, you add some more garlic. Let that cook for 2 more hours. That's all there is to it. Now, wait a minute. I think just before what you serve it, add a little more garlic, and I think what you rub some garlic on the plate, too. You see?
And how does all that taste, Parky?
Nobody could ever get near enough to it to find out. But they say it's malicious.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Parker.
Hello, Opie.
Hi, Opie. Say, Opie, Mr. Fred Stanley, the man who publishes the famous restaurant guides, coming here at 2 o'clock, and you know, it'd be a good thing if you had your whole orchestra here so we could impress him.
Yeah, Betty, I heard about that Mr. Stanley. He's in town now, isn't he?
Hey, wait a minute. I'd be serious what Mr. Stanley is coming over here at 2 o'clock?
Why, of course I'm serious, Parky. What do you think I've been talking about for the last 5 minutes?
Well, why don't you say so? My, I was just making lots of jokes. I thought what you was only kidding. So the great Mr. Stanley is coming over here on my... So we got for to give him the finest meal that he never had. Gee, Betty, what could them do?
Hey, I got an idea, Parky. Why not I go down to the restaurant on the corner and have them fix up something nice, and then I could bring it back here and we could serve it to Mr. Stanley.
Say, look, if the food we got here is done be better than what they got in the restaurant on the corner, then I'll eat it. Oh, my. What could I prepare for Mr. Stanley to eat?
Well, you know something? You're dealing with an experienced eating guy there, Parky. He's been eating for years, you know.
Yes?
But he don't eat that ordinary stuff. I remember a story about him in the magazine, and
yes,
it said that he only eats fancy dishes.
Only eats fancy dishes?
Yep.
Huh?
It said that one day he eats deer meat, and another day he eats buffalo meat, and another day he eats wild boar.
Wild boar?
Let me see, what's the day?
Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Sunday he eats bear.
Eats bear on Sunday, huh? Well, I better put him next to the window. See, Betty, honestly, all joking inside, I don't know what I could give him. I just put on a part of my baked beans, but how could I give a fellow like that baked beans?
Oh, know? I wouldn't say that, Parky. I've eaten your beans many times, and I found out that all you got to do is put on a lot of ketchup. A
lot of ketchup, huh?
Yep, that kills the taste every time.
Look, Betty, I would give anything if I could only get some special recipe for to serve Mr. Stanley. So what he'll give me a good write-up in his book.
Wait a minute, Parky. You remember about 6 months ago you had a banquet here and you made that big roast pig with an apple sticking out of his mouth?
Yes.
Boy, that tasted swell.
It did, huh?
Sure. I never tasted a better apple in my life.
Oh, my, I still don't know what to mean.
Well, Parky, you haven't very much time. Don't forget he'll be here at 2 o'clock.
Look, Betty, sing a song for me. Maybe that will help me for the thing. Don't worry, I'll think of something, I'm sure. I'm only guaranteeing you one thing. After Mr. Stanley leaves here today, he'll be a very happy man. Go ahead, sing a song, Betty.
Yeah, Betty, why don't you sing What a Deal for Parky?
Okay, Opie, I like that song, too.
Yeah, I like it, too.
Riding a private rainbow, sailing around the sun, having laughs, having fun. You made the wind and rain go. What a deal. Oh, what a deal. What a feeling. Wrapping your love around me, nestling in the night. This is real, this is right. Millions of dreams have found me. What a deal. I was lonely, as only I could be. Stars are spinning. Funny how your embrace makes my heart start to race. Heaven is just beginning. What a deal. I was lonely, as lonely as only I could be. Sprinkling moonlight on me. Now even the stars are spinning. Funny how your embrace makes my heart start to race. heaven is just beginning. What a wonderful day.
Bob Williams, say, you know something? That famous Mr. Fred Stanley is coming over here at 2 o'clock. I don't know what to make for him. Oh, my, I'm sharp, Smith. Bobby.
Oh, there, Parky. Why be irritated? Light an old gold.
Say, there's an idea, Bob, and I'll tell Mr. Stanley for to light an old gold, too. Oh, but I suppose what he knows all about that, you know. He knows all the best things. I bet a smart fellow like him has been smoking old golds for years.
Oh, I'm sure he has, Parky, because Mr. Stanley must have certainly discovered that when you light an old gold, you get comfort and pleasure.
Yes.
The comfort of extra protection against cigarette dryness, the pleasure of luxurious extra flavor. You see, old golds give you the benefit of a remarkable moisture-protecting agent we call apple honey. Made from the juice of fresh apples, it helps prevent cigarette dryness. And for extra flavor and soul-satisfying aroma, Old Gold gives you the benefit of Latakia tobacco, added to Old Gold's blend of many great tobaccos. So, light an Old Gold and enjoy the sheer comfort, the unique pleasure of a truly great cigarette.
Say, Bob, I'm only wish what I could make something what tastes so good as Old Gold, you know? I wish what I only knew somebody who could tell me how to make something really fancy for Mr. Stanley.
Say, wait a minute, Parky. I know exactly the man for you.
Yeah.
He's just started a brand new cooking school.
Well, Bob, that's just the kind of a fellow what I need. Who is he?
It's your old friend, Orville Sharp.
Orville Sharp? You mean that faker is going for to give me lessons about cooking? What could he have learned me about cooking? Why, he forgot more than I'll ever know. Bob, you have got lots of nerves suggesting what I should take cooking lessons from Orville Sharp. Why, I was never so insulted in my whole life. Why, I wouldn't go over to Orville Sharp if that's the last thing I ever did in my whole life. Well, here's the place, Orville Sharp's cooking school. If you don't know how to cook, take my course and get fed up. Well, I'll go in.
Well, hello, Mr. Parkycock.
Oh, hello, Mr. Sharp.
Welcome to my cooking school.
Thanks. What's cooking?
Nothing's cooking. It always smells like this in the air. Hey, Bob Williams tells me that you're expecting the famous Frank Stanley over at your restaurant. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Now, it's important to make a good impression on him. You realize that, don't you?
No, yes, I realize that, I think. That's what I come in here, Mr. Sharp. I'm thinking what if you're such an expert on cooking, you could tell me a nice dish what I'm serving in.
Hey, buddy, you couldn't have come to a better place.
No?
You know, cooking with lots of people is just haphazard.
Haphazard?
Yeah. But not with me. Oh, brother, I got cooking down to a sinus.
You got it down to a sinus?
Why, absol. Now,
you know, Mr. Sharp, I didn't realize what you know anything about cooking, really.
You didn't?
No.
My friend and I have been cooking for years.
You should be well done by now. Now, look, Mr. Sharp, you see, I don't got much time. You see, Mr. Stanley is going for to be in my presence in about an hour. You could please give me a couple, two, three suggestions what I could serve him.
Why, say, you know, all the movie stars in the country come to me for advice on cooking.
The movie stars?
Of course.
Of course?
Why, sure, I can show you a lot of testimonials.
What movie stars gave you testimonials?
Why, Claudette Camembert, Robert Donut, Alan Ladd, Carmen Meringue, Conrad Sutton, Henry Flounder, Basil Meatbone. Where do you know you take a lot of names like that? You know what you get?
Yeah, Catherine Hepburn. Look, you still don't give me no suggestions yet. What kind of a dish? What I could serving to Mr. Stanley, you know.
Well, now, how much you figure on spending for a good suggestion?
How much does it cost?
It's all according to what you want. Now, for $50, yes. I can give you a wonderful recipe. This tells you how to make my whole famous grade A full-length dinner.
What is your famous grade A full-length dinner?
Well, yes. First thing,
You start Mr. Stanley off with a delicious appetizer.
A delicious appetizer?
That's to give him a good appetite.
Yeah, we want him to have a good appetite. Am I correct?
Correct, yeah. This Mr. Stanley, he don't want to eat none of them common foods, you see?
I see.
So what you got to give him is something different.
Yes.
Something exotic.
Something exotic?
Yeah, yeah. You got to give him the kind of food that you can find only in a high-class dump.
That's right, Mr. Sharp. I want him for to know that I'm running a high-class dump.
Correct. Now, the first thing you serve him comes under the heading of horse's dovers.
Did you say horses, dovers?
Yes. You bring them a little delicacy.
What would you suggest for a little delicacy?
How's about fried mosquito's eyebrows?
Fried mosquito's eyebrows?
A la king and under glass. You can only serve them two or three of these mosquito's eyebrows, see? You don't want them to get filled up on that.
Yeah. Now, we don't want him to stop himself, you know.
Now, after that, you serve a rare white wine. You know what this kind of dinner is supposed to serve? White wine.
White wine.
Got any good white wine?
Yes, I have.
What kind is it?
Gin. Is that okay?
Perfect, perfect. Now, you serve him a big tumbler of gin.
Yes.
Then comes a soup course.
Yes.
For the soup, you don't serve him nothing ordinary like noodle soup or clam chowder.
You don't?
No. You serve him a fancy soup like chicken creosote.
Chicken creosote.
Correct. Now, after the soup course, it's time for another big tumbler of gin.
Another tumbler of gin now. Yeah, I got it. Huh? Yes.
And now comes the piece de resemblance.
What do you give him for the piece de resemblance?
The main entry, stewed hummingbird.
Stewed hummingbird?
Do you know how to stew a hummingbird?
Give him a tumbler full of gin?
Brother, you better prepare that hummingbird right now or Mr. Stanley won't eat it.
I figured after all that gin, he'll never know the difference anyway.
Well, that's it, brother. That's my complete dinner, and that'll be $50, please.
Hey, wait a minute. You're going for to charge me $50 for all that crazy stuff that you told me? Why, a thing like that is don't be worth no $50.
Well, what do you want to spend for a good recipe?
Oh, I thought I could spend around $1.35, $1.40, but that's all.
Hey, you expect me to lay out a menu for $1.40?
Yes.
For $1.40, you expect me to get you acquainted with the finest way to prepare meats and vegetables?
Yes, get me acquainted.
For $1.40, I wouldn't even introduce you to a tomato on Vine Street. Goodbye.
Obie Cates and Clarinet and his orchestra play One More Dream.
Thank you.
Every day, people ask us why it is that they seem to get more enjoyment from an old gold than is normally expected from a cigarette. There's a reason for that, folks. It's because old gold actually does more to give you more. In old golds, you get more than a blend of the world's choicest tobaccos. You get an added detail, Latakia tobacco, for extra flavor and bouquet. And in old gold, you get more than the ordinary moistening agent. You get the special humectant apple honey, which helps prevent cigarette dryness. Why, even the paper on old golds adds a special luxury to your smoking enjoyment, for it's made from virgin, pure flax, converted into snow-white, smooth, even-burning cigarette paper. So ask for old golds at your tobacco counter. Look for them in the cigarette vending machines. Smoke an old gold. Then see exactly what we mean when we say, to get more out of your smoking, enjoy the cigarette that does more to give you more, old gold.
My Betty, I should never have wasted all that time going over to Orville Sharp's cooking school. Say, Betty, what kind of a fancy dish could I prepare for Mr. Stanley? This is my big chance. I don't want for to lose it.
Well, look, Parky, why don't you forget about fancy dishes? You have a fine reputation for delicious foods, and you made it by serving good, wholesome, simple dishes. Why, people come from miles around just to eat your beef stew.
Say, Betty, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him Parky Cocker's famous beef stew. Tell you the truth, I got some cooking on the stove right now, and Mr. Stanley is we're going to get exactly what all the customers is getting.
That's the spirit, Parky, yes. And I'll bet he'll love it, too.
Hey, Parky, yes. There's a lady out front. She says she's Mr. Stanley's secretary, and she wants to talk to you.
Oh, I didn't expect him so soon. Oh, my. Opie, look, I'm cooking some beef stew in the stove. You'll find some meat in the kitchen. Would you be so kindly just drop that meat in the beef stew and mix it up? I'll go over and talk to the lady.
Okay, go on, Parky. I'll put the meat in.
Thank you. How do you do, lady?
How do you do? I am Mr. Fred Stanley's secretary.
Yes.
Mr. Stanley is waiting outside in the car.
Yes, we was expecting you. Why don't he come in?
Oh, before he ever enters any restaurant, I always go in first to see that the room temperature is just right.
I see. Well, is the temperature okay in here?
Well, the Fahrenheit seems to be at the proper level, yes. But the humidity is 2 degrees off.
What do you know, 2 degrees
off? Yes. It is a bit stuffy, but Mr. Stanley is feeling adventurous today, and perhaps he'll chance it.
Oh, lady, I would appreciate it so much if he would only chance it.
Very good. Now, if you'll pardon me, I shall signal to Mr. Stanley that it's safe for him to come in now.
Thank you. But I'm so nervous. I wonder if we're doing the right thing to giving plain beef stew to a fancy fella like Mr. Stanley.
Oh, now, don't worry, Parky. Oh, quiet. Here he comes.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Stanley? This is a great honor for to have you come to my restaurant. My name is Parky Kakis.
How do you do? You may escort me to my table.
Yes, Mr. Stanley, you sit right over here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, your menu, please.
Mr. Stanley, you see, the reason I don't put no menu on the table, I thought I would like for to serve you the specialty of my restaurant, beef stew.
Beef stew?
Yes.
You dare serve the great Mr. Stanley such a plebeian dish as beef stew?
Here, Hortense, hold your tongue, dear. Beef stew is a bully, suggested Mr. Parker Caucus. Yes, I haven't had beef stew in years.
Oh, you like beef stew, huh?
Like it?
Yes.
I adore it. And please hurry it along. I'm quite famished.
Oh, sure. Pardon you. I'll go in the kitchen. I'll bring it to you right away.
Thank you. I say, Hortense, Mr. Parker Caucus has a very clean place here, hasn't he?
Yes, Mr. Stanley, but beef stew.
I know, Hortense, but I just feel devilish today. Oh, here it comes now, and it's piping hot, too, just the way I like it.
Here's your beef stew, Mr. Stanley.
Oh, thank you, thank you. My, what a delightfully savory aroma.
Yes, and it smells good, too.
I say, do you mind if I hop right in it?
No, go right ahead, hop right in it. It's all right. I'll be back in a minute. Say, Betty.
Yes, Parky?
Look how he's enjoying that beef stew. I've never seen nobody eat so fast or enjoying it so much. And I was worried about what to give him.
Oh, Parky, Mr. Stanley's motioning for you to come over.
Oh, yes, sir. Wonder what he wants.
Say there, Mr. Parky Caucus.
Yes?
Mr. Parky Caucus, I have eaten all over the world in the very finest of restaurants.
Yes.
And may I say that nowhere have I tasted a dish comparable to your delicious beef stew.
Oh, Mr. Stanley, thank you very much.
And now, my dear sir, I'm going to pay you the greatest compliment I've ever paid any chef.
Yes?
I'm going to ask for a second helping.
Second helping? Oh, my. You enjoyed it so much, huh?
Enjoyed it? Yummy.
Oh, Mr. Stanley, that makes me feel so good. That's wonderful. I'll go in the kitchen. I'll bring you some more right away. Uppy, what do you think Mr. Stanley is wants? A second helping of the beef stew. He loves it. Uppy, you are could take part of this credit for this too, you know. Yes, sir, you helped me for to cook that beef stew.
Oh, I didn't do nothing, yes, Parker. You did. I just did what you told me. I dumped in that meat out of this can that was up there on the shelf.
I know, but if it wasn't for you, hey, wait a minute. You dumped in the meat what was in this can?
Yeah.
Uppy, this is dog food. Oh, my. You put dog food in the beef stew. Uppy, what did you do to me? I better go see how Mr. Stanley is feeling. Oh, Mr. Stanley, you feel all right?
Feel all right? Why, I never felt better in my life. But where's my beef stew?
Well, you see, I'm sorry, but we don't got no more beef stew.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. My mouth was just watering for a second helping of Pocky Park Carcass' famous beef stew.
Yes.
I never knew that beef stew could taste like that.
Mr. Stanley, are you sure what you feel all right?
Why, I feel fine.
Yes.
And you just wait until you read the wonderful things I say about you and your restaurant in the next issue of my book.
You mean what you're going for to say good things about me?
Good things?
Yes.
I've just jotted down a few notes here. Let me read what I intend to say.
Yes, go right ahead.
Quote.
Yes.
After tasting Parker Cocker's famous beef stew,
yes,
all I can say is... Yes. Woof, woof, quack, quack, quack.
Adventures of Parker Carcass, Betty Rhodes, Sheldon Leonard, Opie Cates, his clarinet and his orchestra. Tune in again next Sunday, same time, same station. Meanwhile, don't let little annoyances get you down. Why be irritated? Light an old gold. Its tobaccos are specially conditioned to help guard against cigarette dryness, to give you more smoking pleasure. Then we'll see you next Sunday. Is it a date? Okay, meet me at Parkey's. Meet Me at Parkey's is written by Hal Finberg and Parker Carcass. This is Bob Williams saying good night for Old Gold.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.